everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Coming up on this week's show, well, later, we've got a full fixture preview for this weekend's bank holiday matches, as we'll be joined by Andrew Snaith from Coast and County Radio. We're also going to be talking to Luke Edwards at 26-0 about Dave McGurk leaving the club and where next for Hyde United. And we're going to be talking to the managers at Lancaster City, at Bamber Bridge and at Matlock Town. But before that, let's welcome back a dear old friend to the show. It's Mr. Northern Premier League himself. From a social media perspective, it's Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all right. So, where are we at now? We're into our third weekend coming up of matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And later in the show, we'll be joined by Coast and County sport presenter, Mr. Andrew Snaith, for a fixture preview for this weekend's matches. The bank holiday round of matches, everyone, at the end of August as we reach round 5 and 6 of the NPL Premier Division. But James is here to talk about the results from last weekend and Tuesday night's games. And where should we start, James? Shall we start with Buxton, the current league leaders?
We may as well do.
Yeah, the thing to add about Buxton and South Shields is there's no one with a 100% record left in the division. That's because both Buxton and South Shields came up against the mighty FC United this past week. But it's draws for Buxton and South Shields against FC. Firstly, Buxton on Saturday, a 1-1 draw with FC United. Then they followed that up on Tuesday night with a 3-1 victory over Michalova. Yeah, Michalova took the lead early doors with Andy Dales, but then Buxton, 3 goals coming in the second half to see them go top of the table on Tuesday evening, James.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'll start with the Saturday game because that was actually a good match. I'm looking at the highlights. A proper little top of the table clash really early in the season, and both teams deserve a point now.
Yeah, they're a very, very impressive side, Buxton. I have to say, on Saturday, they were worthy of the point. But FC United, it wasn't on top of the table clash, because FC United are in mid-table land at the moment. This is what we say about looking at the league table after 10 games. I think FC are going to be okay this year. And I'm basing that on the Buxton result. I'm also basing it on Tuesday night's game up at Mariners Park. South Shields 1, FC United and Manchester 1. Connor T scoring early doors. South Shields really on it in the opening 20 minutes or so of the game. Then FC United came back into it and Cedric Main getting the equaliser, the deserved equaliser, with 13 minutes left to play. So South Shields started Tuesday, top of the table. They were overtaken after that result by Buxton. So Buxton top, South Shields in second. Then we've got Whitby Town, who are also on 10 points from the opening 4 matches. Whitby Town on Saturday with a 2-0 win against Nantwich Town. Jacob Hazel and Josh McDonald scoring there for the Yorkshire Coast side. And then on Tuesday night, Whitby Town won again. This time they beat Ashton United at Hurst Cross by 3-1. Jacob Hazel scoring 2 goals in that game, as well as Marcus Giles and Liam Tonsett scoring for Ashton United. But Whitby Town with 6 points from this week's matches, a great effort. Let's hear the post-match reaction from Hurst Cross on Tuesday night. Here's joint manager Lee Bullock speaking with friend of the show, Paul Connolly, on Whitby Town's YouTube channel.
So Lee, it's another win for Whitby Town this evening, and certainly a welcome habit to be getting into there.
Yeah, it's a good one. First Tuesday night away from home, and the lads have put a great game in. 3 points, we couldn't have asked for any more. It's been a really good night.
Yeah, and obviously I think Ashton probably arguably started the better of the two sides, much without they didn't really create many chances, dangerous balls into the box, but Whitby then getting the lead. Jacob Hazel stayed about him, scoring on his stunners, finally got a tapping for himself as well.
Yeah, they went quite direct. They go down the channels well and they get balls into the box early. They win the second ball, so it took us 10-15 minutes to get on top of it. Once we competed, once we do what we're good at, like you say, there was some good link-up play down the sides. Marcus with a great bit of centre forward play, got across his man, swivelled shot, and Hayes with a tap in from 2 yards to take the glory, which, like you said, you don't care if he's smashing them in or tapping them in, either way, he's not bothered.
Now, I suppose the one thing to take away from this evening would be the fact that Asher managed to equalise so soon after Whitby took the lead, so that might be something that you may be perhaps slightly disappointed with this evening.
Yeah, we are, but also we had this clean sheets going on, and you find the lads start concentrating on that and not worrying about the game, so that they got it straight out the systems again. We got caught with a ball down the side over the top, and the lads finished it well, but they dusted themselves down, and I was always confident on the front foot once we competed and we'd done the basics. We got the passes right, we took care, and what, the second goal was superb. It was Nath Dyer stepping out of defence, striding through, perfect delivery, and Marcus with a, what looked like a great finish from where we were.
Yeah, and in general, the game perhaps wasn't filled with clear goal scoring opportunities, but in the second half, Whitby's pretty much their first shot of the second half. Jacob Hazel again, and you're just showing what clinical forward he is and how clever he is there to beat the offside trap in that situation.
Yeah, all three of them, we sat back, we were winning. We said we don't need to go chasing the game, wait for the opportunities to come, and I think it was Marcus pounced on a loose ball, lovely through ball, great touch, and again another good finish from Jake. The three lads that we have that can all score goals, it's get the work right all over the pitch, let the lads do the ugly side of it, and then the flair players come to life.
Yeah, and as much as throughout that second half Whitby had that 2-goal cushion, they never really looked threatened, which I suppose again you'd be another aspect you're pleased at, the fact that your team were able to just see the game out so well in the end.
Yeah, like, I was pretty comfortable all night. I know now we've got the lads winning headers, they're working hard for each other, the midfielders are picking the seconds up. We're in a good place, but if we've got to keep working hard and we keep drilling that into them, if they don't keep doing that, this level you quickly get beat, no matter who you're playing and where they are in the league.
Yeah, and then just looking ahead now, it's another away trip on Saturday, this time to Gainsborough Trinity, who are a young side, and I think going off the pre-season game against the young Sunderland side, you'll know exactly what sort of game to expect from them.
We'll look into them this week. My early impressions are, yeah, it'll be a bit more of a technical-based approach from them. We've handled that quite well in pre-season. It's a whole different thing in a league game, so we'll go there confident, but we'll go there giving them respect and with a game plan to hopefully win the game.
Joint manager Lee Bullock there at Whitby Town speaking to Paul Connolly, and the link to Whitby Town's YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. James, Whitby are motoring now.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, a quick mention to Paul as well for that choosing that game, flying back from Gibraltar to make it to Washington in time. But yeah, I think we said at the start of on the pre-season show, Jacob Hazel, as soon as he gets started to score, he is going to be a threat in the league, and his last week's proven it.
Lancaster City have got off to a flyer as well. A phenomenal start to the season. Obviously, they were beaten in the opening day, but they haven't looked back since, and certainly this week. Wow. Saturday, Grantham Town 2, Lancaster City 7. Sam Fishburne there scoring a hat-trick for the Lancashire side down in Lincolnshire. Brilliant performance that from Lancaster. And they followed that up on Tuesday night with a really good 2-0 victory at home to Stalybridge Celtic. So it's been a good week for Lancaster City. That season fourth in the league table, 1 point behind Buxton, South Shields and Whitby. Let's hear now from the manager at Lancaster City on Thursday. It's a big welcome back to the show to Mr. Mark Fell. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. And well, it's been a good set of results since the opening day of the season defeat, hasn't it, for Lancaster? How's the start been?
Yeah, really pleased with it. I mean, traditionally, we win on the first day of the season and then have a little dip. So we've done it the other way around this time. And to be fair, I thought we were unlucky first day of the season, considering we played with 10 men for 65 minutes of the game. We were unlucky not to get something, but you know, since then I think we've been fantastic. To be fair, I think we've limited teams to really few chances and set players and bits and pieces, and you know, it's all sort of progressed and culminated into a good win on Tuesday at Stalybridge. And you know, as far as starts go, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good, and we're pretty happy with it.
One player who's been on fire since joining the club in the last week or so is Sam Fishburne, obviously on loan from Carlisle. He's been a goal scoring machine, hasn't he? I mean, how delighted are you with his start?
Yeah, I mean, he's 17 years old. He's still a boy. So to make the impact that he's had, you know, it's fantastic, really. And it's nice because he's one of those people that just fits into your group. He's just slotted straight into the group. You know, he's got on with everybody. The lads are enjoying playing with him. And yeah, he started fantastically against Witten. He then he banged a couple in that night, and then three against Grantham. And in both of those games, he probably could have scored another couple each, really. He's missed a 1v1, I think, in both games. And then obviously on Tuesday night against Stalybridge, he took his, and he really had one chance, but he took it really well. And I know he's highly regarded at Carlisle. I know he's now attracting a lot of attention because any player that comes at that age and scores a lot of goals at any level is going to attract some attention. So it probably swelled the gate a bit on Tuesday, the amount of clubs that came to watch him. But yeah, we've got a great relationship with the guys at Carlisle, and we're happy to have him and to sort of support him in his development as he progresses as a young professional footballer.
Now, obviously, the main headline from last weekend across the league, I'm going to suggest, was the Grantham Town result. Obviously, Sam scored a hat-trick in that game, but Brock Banks scored, didn't he? He's got Carlisle connections as well, hasn't he? I mean, how delighted were you with that performance at the Safka Stevens Stadium?
Yeah, we've always gone well at Grantham, ironically. You know, every time I've been there three times last three seasons, it's one of those games that we have managed to get in through COVID, and we've always performed there for some reason. And yeah, obviously the two goals for Paul Dawson, who again, you know, he's having a great start to his season. I know he's highly regarded across the league. He scored I don't know if you've seen it, but he scored a pretty stunning free kick on Tuesday night as well, which has been all over our social media. So yeah, really pleased with the performance. I was more pleased, you know, with Tuesday, because I thought we limited Stalybridge to next to nothing. We didn't give them a sniff. And, you know, our experienced players, your Andy Teague, your Glenn Steeles, you know, they really came to the fore and just made sure that we looked rock solid and we looked, you know, secure. And when you're scoring goals, that's a nice thing to have, that reassurance that, you know, defensively you are fairly safe and secure as well. So that was probably, we were fairly sort of expansive and exuberant on Saturday, but we showed a different side of ourselves in the game against Stalybridge on Tuesday, and that was just as pleasing for me, if not more.
Let's talk about this weekend's matches then. It's two different kind of matches, I'm going to suggest. Mickleover at the Giant Axe on Saturday, and then Afferty Coles away on Monday. I mean, how are you taking to this weekend's matches?
Well, I think at this point in the season, Ben, you don't really know. I mean, we do all our due diligence, like every manager does. We watch all the videos. We've got scout reports coming out of our ears, but at this time of the year, you just don't know. I mean, I had Basford in the top three at the start of the season, which probably shows what I know, because they've had a tough start, haven't they? But I didn't foresee Atherton beating Basford, yet they have, and I've not. You know, I know Brad Cook really well, and I know his team is going to try and outwork us. They're going to be really organised, strong, resilient, and we need to have that in abundance to get something on Monday. Different test against Mickleover. You know, they've got he's built a really strong side there. And we'll have to play differently in both games. I think the other thing that managers have got to consider at this time of year is the load on the players. Because we've got players that have played every game so far and are now going to bounce into, you know, they've played four in 2 weeks. They're now going to go Saturday, Monday, which is a different, you know, different set of physical traits needed for that. And especially with some of ours that are a bit on the wrong side of sort of 35, we need to be very careful with that. So, yeah, two tough tests. But they all are, you know, they all are. They're, you look on paper, you know, Grantham, we beat Grantham 7-2, but they beat Radcliffe the week before that. So I suppose the beauty and the joy of this league for people is that it is very unpredictable. It's almost like the Championship, isn't it? Where they say everyone can beat everyone. And I genuinely believe that. I also believe that it could be, you know, it could be a season for, you know, somebody like ourselves that's probably not seen, or certainly not seen. I know we didn't even get a sniff on your preview show in terms of being, well, and being
Mark,
up there.
I
have a good
listen,
you know. I have a good listen.
I know. I was going to say, though, with your prediction for the top three, you're more than welcome with skills like that to be a pundit on the show. carry on anyway, sorry.
But yeah, so yeah, I mean, and that, you know, it suits us, though. It suits us to be below the radar, obviously. The 1920 season, we were in the playoffs. We only lost 1-8 in the 2021 season. So we'll back ourselves to go quite quietly under the radar. And I do think it's a season for one of those teams that you perhaps don't expect. And, you know, I've heard lots of people on your show and in the wider media say that there's probably 12 managers all thinking they've got a chance. I think it probably extends even to sort of 14 or 15. And look at the start Bamber Bridge have had. Why would Millie not be thinking that they've got a chance now? He absolutely should be. So it's a long season and we're only just at the start of it. But if you're a neutral, you know, watching games in this league, what a fantastic league to get involved in and to go and watch some games, because it is absolutely anybody's. I do believe that. And I know there's, you know, some buckets of money being chucked around in places, but doesn't necessarily guarantee your success, does it? And I think clubs like ours have to hang on to that thought and that belief that we can be there or thereabouts. But we need to carry some momentum. We need to try and, you know, get on the back of these three wins now and hopefully pick up some more points over the weekend and see where we are in maybe five or six games. And I do think if you can get in a pack out the front in this league, then you can get almost dragged along by those clubs who you probably always expected to be up at the top end.
Mark Fell there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show, speaking to me on Thursday. Tell you what, Lancaster are on it, aren't they, James?
Yeah, and it's since sort of the loan signing of Sam Fishburne, realistically, the top goal scorer in three games already on six for the season.
We go back to Marcus Denanga, don't we? When he was on loan at Matlock. There's no harm in a lad that young playing at this level of the game and scoring goals. It really does help in their career, doesn't it? And their career development. We go back to what we said in the previous show. If you can get a good striker, that's going to be the key this year to a lot of success. And Lancaster there clearly found a gem from the loan market in Sam Fishburne. That's for sure.
Obviously, a good quality striker makes a difference. Lancaster have got two because Paul Dawson's already quite high up in the goal scorers chart for the season as well at this moment in time. And again, it's four games. It's going to take a while for a Golden Boot contender to really start showing himself through, but both of them have put early claims in there straight away.
We spoke about goal scoring. Let's talk about Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge, what a week they've had. A 5-1 win over Gainsborough Trinity on Saturday, and Gainsborough Trinity scoring a consolation really there with 5 minutes or so left of the game. So a pretty comprehensive result that for the Lancashire side. And then they followed that up on Tuesday night, an away trip to Morpeth Town. Morpeth Town, that was that their first home game of the season? And Bamber Bridge beat them by 3-1. We'll get Jamie Milligan on in a second. But James, your thoughts on Bamber Bridge?
Yeah, I mean, great start there for Bamber Bridge. Again, devastating win against Gainsborough Trinity. Again, looking at the highlights. Morpeth, it's the first game on a new surface as well. It's worth mentioning. But yeah, great little performance for Bamber Bridge. And with 12 goals after four games, isn't nothing to snuff at. I think they're the top goal scorers on, like, per game rate at this moment in time. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's great stuff at Bamber Bridge at the moment. Let's hear how good it is. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Bamber Bridge. It's a welcome back to the show to Jamie Milligan. Well, Jamie, a big thank you for joining us. And another good week and a good start to the season. You've not really looked back since the Buxton match, have you?
Yeah, the first game was a bit of a test, to be honest with you. But it's a bit of an eye-opener for our younger lads, you know what I mean? Because they're a big, strong physical team, do you know what I mean? And to be fair, they deserve to win that day, but it's good to happen that early on in the season, because our younger lads sort of rose to the occasion the next three games. But after that Buxton game, the lads have been superb.
You've scored 12 goals in the last three matches. That's not bad, is it, really? And only conceded three. So, it's good going forward, but pretty good at the back as well.
Yeah, that's what we've tried to shore up this season, because we're always going to create chances the way we play, but It's that back line. We can't be too wide open when we're attacking, and including the keeper, the back four, and the two sitting midfield has been outstanding.
And with regards to, you know, the start of the season, we could talk about, you know, the likes of Isaac Sinclair, you know, the impact he's had in this opening stage of the season. I mean, how satisfied and happy are you with the squad that you've shaped for this opening of the campaign?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about money all the time, but the squad we've got for our budget is. It's probably the best in the league. But it's like I had to leave three lads out of the last two games out of the whole squad. So it is a strong squad, and we've got some good loans in, some Blackpool and Fleetwood, some good young lads. Like you say, Isaac's been outstanding this last two or three games, which he needed to do because he needs to kick on. He can't just settle for this level. He's got too much ability to kick on and play higher up the pyramid sort of thing. But like you say, the whole team, more than anything, they defended so well.
I mean, how excited are you about these, you know, young players that you've got in? Because you're a cracking coach, Jamie, I could say that. You know, you're a great coach. How excited are you about what's possible for your team this year?
Yeah, it's like I say, cheers for that, by the way. But it's early on in the season, but it's like leagues aren't won and playoffs aren't won at this stage of the season. But would they have took this before the start of the season, 100%. And I've said it all along, these young lads, I don't care if they're 15, 16, 17, if they're good enough, they'll stay in the team. And at the minute, these younger boys, first and foremost, they're working the socks off. And that's all I ask for them, because they've all got ability, otherwise I wouldn't have brought them in.
And let's talk about this weekend, because you mentioned the eye-opening nature of the Buxton match. It's going to be a bit of a learning curve this weekend, isn't it, with the opposition, Nantwich and Warrington.
Yeah, definitely. Nantwich, big, strong team, and they can play as well. Really good manager. It was a good game against them the last time we played them. But yeah, it's going to be a test for our lads because they're a big, strong team. And then the Warrington game after that, that's going to be harder as well because I know Cards, Reid's top manager, and B's a top first team coach, and it's going to be another test for our lads. If we can come out of that unscathed, then it'll be unbelievable.
I do have to mention this, Jamie. There's not screams going on at the St Tom Finney Stadium at the moment. You're at Blackpool, which is what all the background noise is at the moment. So just to clear that up in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to this start of the campaign and all that, I mean, are you hoping to be in and around it as much as you can this season and competing towards the top end of the table?
Yeah, I wouldn't be still doing the job if I didn't think we could compete and try and get in the playoffs. I wouldn't settle for mid-table. I prefer not to do the job and just let someone else do it. But the squad we're building, and listen, we could be getting two really good players coming in as well to strengthen it even more. But yeah, like I was saying, there's no expectations from above the chairman or anything like that. They're pleased with the way we work things. We're a young team. We're trying to build and we're trying to move lads on and make the club some money like we've done.
And with regards to yourself as well, I mean, it's been... I can't remember, Jamie, because of COVID and everything. Have you actually completed a full season yet at Bamber Bridge?
No, we haven't.
How much are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it'd be great to get a full season. And to be honest, the COVID came in at the right time for us because we were struggling, but it was one of them. Yeah, it happened. But yeah, it'd be great to get a full season under my belt because I've not done it as a manager yet.
And looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. There's nothing better than bank holiday football and with two brilliant fixtures. So it's going to be down to the lads. They've just got to replicate exactly what they're doing, what they've done the last two or three games, and we'll be able to compete.
And final question, Jamie. What's your next ride you going on? Anything good?
Do you know what? I think we're going on the Icon next.
Oh,
I think
excellent.
Yeah, that's the next one. Yeah, so I'm just my little lad. So, yeah, I've managed to get a day off from work first time in 6 weeks. So. Come on here.
Well, enjoy it. And big thank you for taking the time to come on the show. Really appreciate it, Jamie. And all the best this weekend.
Top man, but I appreciate that, mate.
Jamie Milligan there at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. Incidentally, it is the summer holidays after all. I should say other theme parks in the north of England are available.
They're not as good.
But they're not as good. God, Chase, well played. Excellent. I'm only joking. Flamingoland and Gulliver's World and Alton Towers. Is that everyone? Camelot's no longer with us, is it? I think that was everyone covered.
Can you claim Southport still?
What's it called? Is it Pleasureland?
Something like that.
The fair at Southport and other fairs too at your local park. Right, so Bamber Bridge in fifth position now on 9 points after four games. Warrington Town, they're also on 9 points after four games. Warrington were beaten on Saturday by Scarborough Athletic. More on them in a second. Ryan Watson scoring from the penalty spot. Kieran Glynn scoring into the second half. So Scarborough, who are currently unbeaten in the league table, are starting to move up now and causing problems for teams. Scarborough incidentally beat Gainsborough Trinity on Tuesday night as well away from home by 2-0. Will Thornton scoring in that game. But back to Warrington. Warrington did bounce back on Tuesday night with a 2-0 win over Atherton Coles. Matty Reagan and Josh Amos there scoring for Warrington. Then we've got Matlock, 9 points from the opening four matches. And it's been a good week for Matlock, a 2-1 win over Hyde United on Saturday. Rhys Kendall and Lurakasane scoring for Matlock Town. And then on Tuesday night, Matlock were victorious at Nantwich Town, beating them by 1-0. Rhys Kendall there scoring on the hour mark. So let's hear a bit more now about Matlock Town. A good week for them with two wins from two. And it's actually three wins from four as well, if you count the opening week of the season. So Paul Phillips should be happy. And to hear how happy he is, let's hear from him now. On Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Matlock Town. Here is Paul Phillips. Well, Paul, a big welcome back to the show. And apart from the opening Saturday, you've not really looked back in this opening couple of weeks of the season. I mean, how's it been?
Yeah, like you say, the first week was disappointed. I think no more so than the players. We prepared really well. We had a good pre-season. There was a little bit of deja vu in the scenario. The same thing happened at Bamber Bridge last year, where whether the excitement of got back to playing competitive football got to us, but we let ourselves down as a whole. But since then, we asked them to bounce back against three good teams. We've done that, and I think we've been comfortable in the victories that we've gone through in the last three games.
Let's talk about the recent couple of results then from this past week. A 2-1 win over Hyde at home on Saturday, and a very good 1-0 away win at the Weaver Stadium on Tuesday. Tell us firstly about that Hyde performance.
I think it was Hyde coming. No disrespect to Dave at the time. He's obviously on a couple of back of a couple of bad results, so they come to try and obviously spoil the game and slow things down. And for the first 45 minutes, we sort of fell into that trap where we let them set the tempo. Then second half, after I think it was 55, 60 minutes, we brought Lirak on, who we've got on loan from Doncaster, a very good player. And he just changed the tempo of the game. We got two goals. We should have got more, to be honest. I thought it wasn't a great game, but it was a win, and it was a win that we needed to kickstart where we was going.
And Rhys Kendall scored again on Tuesday night. He was one of the players who I remember you retaining towards the back end of last season in May time, wasn't it? He was announced he was staying. I mean that was a particularly good performance that away from home at a side who were going to be in and around the playoffs. That's for sure.
Yeah, like I say, cookies are. I think. Obviously, Nantwich have got a lot of history of getting in the playoffs. They're a very good footballing team. Casper Hughes, Cookie himself, who's in there, and all the players like Saunders, who's playing up front, have got very good players. And I thought it was a really good performance, a real good away performance where they come out the traps quick. I thought we've sort of weathered the storm a little bit for 15, 20 minutes, and then I sort of put our foot down. And again, I thought we could have won a bit more comfortable. I thought we created a lot of chances, hit them on the break. And I probably would have kicked ourselves if we wouldn't have come away with 3 points. But again, credit to the lads. Rhys has scored the goal, but it was an all-round team performance. Defensive-wise, it's good to get a clean sheet. I thought keeper and my back three were really solid in everything they did.
Obviously, it's very early days to the season, Paul, but you know, you did that win there without Ross Hannah, we should say, who was suspended. So the squad itself, it looks like a good squad. What's your expectations for this season overall, do you feel?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really, obviously, club captain Liam Hughes has been out, he's been suspended, so I've not had him. I've missed Ross Hannah on Tuesday. I've only had Chipfield, a massive part of what we do. I've only had him for a game and a half. So, again, it's been a bit of a miss. You can't complain, you've just got to get on with it. It's the way of the world at the moment, but I feel that when we get that three back, the squad will be where we want it to be. I always say, people laugh at me, and until it's mathematically impossible, they always say we want to win the league. And I think we're 1 point off the top now, after letting ourselves down on the opening day. And I feel that we can have a look round at the squads that people have got. And people have got a lot of money, spending a lot of money on players. And I'll be perfectly honest, there won't be many players that I'd swap out of my dressing room to some of the players that are getting paid a lot of money in this league.
Let's go to this weekend's matches then. Obviously, it's a busy period with bank holiday to factor in as well. But two tough games, really. Obviously, you've got Gainsborough on Monday, but Warrington away on Saturday. We're going to know a lot more, aren't we, about your squad after this game at Cancelwood Park?
Of course, listen, Warrington again, cards. Another team, obviously, Nantwich similar, have been in and around the playoffs and achieved quite a lot in this league. Another good manager. Probably a different style of play. They'll be more direct. They'll ask us questions with Josh Amish and Buckley up front, and they'll put it on us. And we'll find out about lads that how much they want to win games. They're going to put the body on the line, because you always get asked that question when you go to Warrington. We're ready for the task. We'll work on things tonight in training. But again, it'd be a tough opening. As I looked at the fixtures when they first come out, but the first five, six games that we're going to play were really tough games. And I feel like this probably is the toughest game that we're going to have in the first five, six games, and it'll see where we are as a team and as a whole, where we can go.
And final question, Paul, for that Monday game, clocking on for an average attendance of nearly 500 for this opening couple of weeks of the season at Causeway Lane, which isn't bad at all. What's your message to the Matlock Town faithful for Monday's match in particular as well?
I feel like they get behind us anyway, but I feel like the more we can get in, the better it is for the lads. We had 1,800 there, and when we played Chesterfield, we had 1,200 there when we played Boston. So we need people to get behind us. It's as we want to need to make our home ground as much as a fortress as you can, because that's what wins you things, and that's what makes your achievements even easier and better. But I feel that hopefully we've given the platform now. We've not been beat there. I feel that we can, if more can get in, the better it'll be for the lads going forward.
Paul Phillips there, manager of Matlock Town. Right, let's. We mentioned that match against Hyde United on Saturday for Matlock. That was the last match for Hyde United with Dave McGurk in charge. He stepped down soon after. I'm sending our best wishes to Dave. Let's find out a bit more about this now and what next for Hyde United. On Thursday, I caught up with 26-0's very own, it's a welcome back to the show, to Luke Edwards. Well, Luke, a big thank you for joining us, and a difficult week. You know, Dave McGurk, cracking man, cracking manager. He's decided to leave the club. It's been difficult, hasn't it, at Hyde the last week or so?
Yeah, since the start of the season it has. I mean, I think we went to the season with so much optimism. Obviously, the sponsorship name around the stadium, which caused a lot of excitement towards the end of pre-season. We were playing some good football and good results. But the first 10 days have been pretty disastrous. I mean, he struggled against Atherton Coles after a bright start. Coles got the win. It could have gone either way, really, but probably on the balance of play, Coles just edged it. They went to Bamber Bridge and defensively were all over the shop. It wasn't a Dave McGurk team at all. He was furious after. And then Matlock on Saturday was a much improved performance, but Dave was sat down in the dugout during the game, which is very unlike him. And then he was out on the pitch with John afterwards, John McCoom, the assistant, and everyone thought, he's just thinking about maybe he needs to get rid of a couple of players, which players to bring in. And then lo and behold, one day the news broke. I found out, like nearly all the fans, there was only a few people who knew that he'd gone, and it was a massive shock, to be honest, and one that took, took a day to get my head round, if I'm honest.
He's basically said it, well, in the local paper, when he's been commenting on it, he's basically said, you know, he feels it's the right time just to take a step back from most things he's doing, just to reevaluate things, and that's fair enough given the last 18 months, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's when the academy kind of changed hands, he's had to go and kind of do another job. He was working 70 hours in that, then he was trying to set up training, and yeah, it's just been, as I say, everyone's just been saying, is it because of results? And it's not, because apparently he's made his mind up before the Matlock game regardless. And there was a telling quote actually from his interview that said, people have been ringing up asking me if my mental health's okay. He said it is, but if it had carried on, it wouldn't have been, which is quite a telling statement, really. And yeah, it's just a shame now. And like I say, the club was in real shock, but the team went out and did put on a performance for him, really. I think they felt a responsibility to put on a performance for him. They were really up for it, and he got a comfortable victory over Grantham on Tuesday.
Yeah, what a performance it was as well. Pratt, Tong and Hardy all scoring in a pretty comprehensive victory over Grantham Town. I should say, we sent our best wishes to Dave, and like I said, he was always willing to come on the show and always great to talk to. Like all the managers in this division, we're very, very lucky. But looking ahead then, I mean, that result there, I mean, it just showed there's quality in that Hyde United dressing room, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of frustration with Dave as well. He did want to add a couple of players to it and couldn't do for various reasons. But he's got a nucleus of a very good squad. It's a young squad. Players that have maybe been discarded by other clubs at this level as well. And Dave got them together, believed in him. And most of the players are at the club because of Dave and John. A lot have turned down bigger offers from other clubs because they want to work. They enjoyed working with Dave. A lot have come from clubs where they're on decent money and taking a pay cut to come to Hyde because of Dave and John. So the team spirit there is really, really good, and there's a nucleus of a good squad. And whoever comes up in, I just hope they evaluate it, look at it, and can kind of build a team around a good nucleus of the squad already there.
So we're recording this late on Thursday afternoon, Luke, as you know, but the listener might not be aware. There could be an announcement, but it'd be a bit quick, wouldn't it, to announce his successor. You've got FC United on Saturday. That's a big game ordinarily. I mean, what's your take on how it's all looking on and off the pitch as you head to this weekend's match?
Yeah, well, applications close on the Thursday evening, so they'll have closed by the time this podcast goes out. I think the whole, I know John McCombs, who's Dave's assistant, said he's going to take certainly the FC game and the Michelover game on bank holiday Monday. And then obviously they're hoping to get someone in for the FA Cup game, which is away at Morpeth, which isn't sort of the most ideal tie. But they're hoping to have someone in for that. I think if they haven't, John will still is happy to take charge for that. But he's openly came out on Tuesday. He spoke to himself and Berkey after the game, and he was really emotional about the whole thing. He said, obviously, he's had some personal tragedy during the last sort of year or so, and it's kind of made him reassess football and what, and maybe take a step away from football as well. So he said he won't be staying on after the new manager comes in, or he's not even interested in taking the job. So by sort of next Tuesday or Wednesday, I think they're hoping to have someone in place, but it's a case of watch this space, I think.
And, well, in the meantime then, let's give a plug to 26-0 because, as we touched upon there, some big games this weekend. FC United on Saturday, Mickleover away on Monday. How could people tune in, and what have they got to look forward to this weekend?
Yeah, it's Radio Wars with FC Radio, isn't it, on Saturday?
it's a friendly thing. It's friendly, Lee. It's very friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it's too fair, just looking ahead to Saturday, it should be a really good game because I got that win, and again, there'll be managers there watching. They'll want to impress, so it won't be an easy game for FC. They've come off a good result against South Shields. Now Hyde have got that win under the belt. Hopefully they'll go into that with a bit of confidence. There'll be a good crowd there as well. If you do want to listen, it's mixlr.com/26-0 for both games on Saturday and Monday.
Luke Edwards there from 26-0 joining us this week. And it's going to be interesting, James, what happens next at Hyde United. Incidentally, on Tuesday night, as we were discussing there, a 3-0 win for Hyde United over Grantham Town. So they've clearly got a good squad there. I don't think that's in any doubt. But where next for Hyde United?
Something Hyde needed there just to settle the nerves, especially when we've got the likes of Liam Hardy, who's scoring at the moment. That's a big advantage if a team's coming off a losing streak to have a proven goal scorer.
Let's talk about Scarborough. Scarborough with, as we said, 2 wins from 2. Totally unbeaten now following the 2 opening draws of the season for them. So 8 points from the opening 4 games. Let's go to Stafford Rangers now. Stafford Rangers with a 2-0 win over Radcliffe on Saturday. Sorry, James. Tom Tonks and Luca Navarro scoring for Stafford there. And then Stafford took that form, the great form that they've opened the season with, and got an away point at Basford United. A 1-1 draw there. Jake Charles scoring once again, an equaliser after Kane Richards opened the scoring for the Nottinghamshire side. Let's have some post-match reaction from that draw midweek at Basford United on Tuesday night. Here's Matt Hill, manager of Stafford Rangers, speaking with Stafford Rangers' YouTube channel.
Yeah, it was a difficult one. I thought, you know, their shape a little bit caused us a bit of problems. But, you know, we tried to stay compact and it was just a bit bitty, really. I think they did have majority of the ball, but without really causing us too much problems. But obviously one probably mistake, which probably Jono holds his hand up for. It happens, but he did bail us out with a great save on the edge of the box. So, yeah, it was disappointing coming in at 1-0 because I didn't think really, you know, they really threatened our goal. And we had a couple of chances, but again, not really threatening the goalkeeper. So it was disappointing. But, you know, the early signs, especially in the first sort of 10 minutes of the game, I could see them tiring already. You know, and the way we were pressing, the way we were trying to be the team that wanted to win it, I thought we were showing right the way through the second half. So,
yeah, I mean, second half, we seem to come out with a purpose. Needed to, 1-0 down, you'd had a chat with them half-time, corner straight away, and then basically straight back in the game.
No, we just said it was, you know, there was nothing in the game. You know, we were actually playing well. When we broke on them, we broke well. We created opportunities, so it was a case of more of the same. We just had to be patient at times in terms of our movement and midfielders offering angles to get on the ball. But as soon as the you know, the red card happened, which was rightly so. Tonks has got a serious gash to his leg, so he's having to go to the hospital for stitches. You know, we could fully control the game then, and you know, I was a little bit greedy. I wanted to have the 3 points. So, but there we go.
Matt Hill there, manager of Stafford Rangers, speaking to Stafford Rangers' YouTube channel. Link to their YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast. Make sure you subscribe for content like that one there. So Matt Hill, he's got to be very happy with the start to the season that Stafford Rangers have had, James. They've been excellent, haven't they?
They've got a good strike force this year. The signing of Luke Navarro getting late on has proven a little good thing because He's proven a point against his form club over the weekend with the free kick that he scored. He's got that capability to cause some little surprises, and is a well-known set-piece taker. Plus the fact as well, Tom Tonks, who again, I mentioned last week, knows this league with his time with Stourbridge at the same time. They can be proud of the start that they've had there, and the result against Bayford, again, is a big one there.
Great point there. Nantwich Town, incidentally, are in 10th, but no points for them this week. Atherton Coles are in 11th. They've played four, now got a points tally of 6. Atherton Coles with a fantastic 3-0 win over Bayford United on Saturday, with goals coming from Jack Lenehan and Marcus Cassani. For Atherton Coles, a 3-0 win over Bayford. They were beaten, though, as we discussed earlier, by Warrington by 2-0. On Tuesday. When we've got Mickleover, we mentioned the Buxton result midweek. Mickleover did pick up 3 points on Saturday, though. Declan Bacon scoring 2 goals in a 2-1 victory over Ashton United. Tom Bentham there getting a goal with a couple of minutes left for Ashton United. But Mickleover with 3 points out of a possible 6 this past week. Then we've got FC United. More on them later, as we'll be previewing this weekend's matches. Hyde United and Radcliffe for FC this weekend. And speaking of Radcliffe, we mentioned the Stafford Rangers result on Saturday. But on Tuesday, James, you won. You beat Witton Albion by 2-0. Sorry, Simo. Bobby Grant and Cole Hall there scoring for Radcliffe. How was it?
Actually, I spoke to Simo this game as well. This was the same where injuries are really impacting some clubs at the moment. They've got 7 key players out at this moment in time, and the majority of them seem to be long-term. It's a bit of a kicker for them, but it's something they're going to need to recover from fast.
Well, first win of the season for Radcliffe on Tuesday night. Let's have the post-match action now for manager Lee Fowler. Here he is speaking with Radcliffe's YouTube channel.
Yeah, it was good. I think it's been coming. I think, you know, I think a few people have been panicking in terms of the results of not winning the games, which they so-called we should have beat. Yeah, that was perfect performance, I think, today. I think, you know, we could have scored a good hefty whack. I won't put a number on it because I don't want to be disrespectful to Carl and his team, but, you know, we're missing chances from 1 yard out, 2 yards out, and yeah, they deserved it. They, you know, we look a lot solid now as a team. Another clean sheet and a win, so I'm a happy man.
The clean sheet as well, defensively, we've looked really solid most of the season, so again, you've got to be really positive with that.
Yeah, we've done loads of work in the off-season with it. I think that's 2 clean sheets now. And I think Cam and Sam has had 4 shots to save, and add the 2 today where Cam's made 2 worldy saves. That's 6 shots in 4 games. And unfortunately, we've come away with 2 losses within them games. You saw the Grantham game, 37 shots, I think it was, second half alone. Today is another high stat for opportunities missed, but, you know, that's me being maybe a little bit more ruthless in terms of, like, being on them that they should score more goals. So, yeah, I'm happy with them. The lads deserve everything they got.
Lee Fowler there, manager of Radcliffe, speaking to Radcliffe's YouTube channel after that 2-0 victory over Witton Albion on Tuesday night. And just a reminder, Radcliffe's YouTube channel, the link to the channel is available in the description to the show. And please do make sure you subscribe to all these channels, because there's highlights, interviews across the board. Great stuff from the media officers in the Northern Premier League. And just one last result to bring you from the week that's just gone. Stalybridge Celtic, first win of the season, came on Saturday afternoon with a 2-0 win over Morpeth Town. And Evans there scoring 2 goals for Stalybridge at Bower Fold. So Stalybridge now off the mark. And yeah, that's all the results from last weekend across the division. We've got Andrew Snaith joining us in a second for a fixture preview. But James, just before we go, just a quick reminder for all the social media stuff, the goal highlights and everything else.
Yeah, so there's so many goal highlights. We're having to spread them across all the platforms. So the first week of the season, there was recorded 224 goals. So see all the highlights, facebook.com/Northern Premier League. Twitter at Northern Prem League, LG at the end. Instagram, official Northern Premier League. TikTok, Northern Premier League as well. And also keep an eye out on the YouTube page, because we're going to start doing the NPL Goals Show at least once every match day where there's a significant number of Premier League games. And we're going to start doing a Division 1 show at least every fortnight, unless it gets too busy with the goals, and we'll look at every week. So it's getting busy, so it's worth following us on all them platforms.
Absolutely. Well, James Hayes from the Northern Premier League social media officer, you have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
Yep, no one's been seen to you.
A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week, but it's now time to look ahead to this weekend's matches, a bank holiday doubleheader, no less. Joining me now for this historic occasion in the 21-22 season of the Pitching In Northern Premier League, Premier Division, it's a welcome back to the show to Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
How you been? Yeah, doing really well. Nice to be back on the show.
And we're at the bank holiday weekend stage now. So the season is off and running now, good and proper, isn't it? So
yeah.
Let's start by talking about the current league leaders, Buxton. They've got a game this weekend at home to Stalybridge Celtic on Saturday. They follow that up on Monday with a tough away game at Stafford Rangers. Stalybridge Celtic have picked up their first win now, Andrew. Stafford have been really impressive, haven't they, opening games of the season. So, tough weekend to come for the league leaders.
Yeah, it'll be a good workout for them. Yeah, as you said, Stafford Rangers, who had a difficult time last time around, last two seasons, of course, we forget. But these seasons just go so quickly through the pandemic and all the problems we've had. But Stafford have started well this time around, got a good point at Basford in midweek, and they'll fancy their chances of causing an upset against Buxton. Not a big surprise to see them out in the lead, it has to be said. And yes, obviously Stalybridge Celtic, they are back, they are up and running finally, but not had quite so bright a start to the season. But of course, we're only four games in, so there's plenty of time for them to play catch up.
Absolutely. Very early days. South Shields are also on 10 points up at the top of the division. South Shields taking on Grantham Town on Saturday, whilst on Bank Holiday Monday, they travel to Scarborough Athletic. Wow. So, South Shields, tough weekend to come for them. Shall we talk about the Scarborough match and Scarborough more generally? Because then Scarborough on Saturday, they're away at Radcliffe. But it's been, they've been slowly getting on with it, quietly getting on with it, haven't they, Scarborough? And they're creeping up the table now.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right, Ben. Yeah, they're just still unbeaten. Couple of draws to start things off. Quite a negative pre-season. The supporters not entirely convinced by John O'Greening coming in. He had a few ropey results in pre-season, but of course, never judge them on pre-season results. They got a great win at Bradford Park Avenue just before the season started. That started to turn people around a little bit. They got a good point at Basford, and now they've really got things motoring with back-to-back victories. And they go into that South Shields game, depending on Saturday's result, of course, but in good heart. And also, the Scarborough fans very keen to try and match that 2,000 plus attendance that South Shields had in midweek, a tremendous attendance, 2,362, and a very good end-to-end game against FC United of Manchester, a great advert for the NPL Premier. But yeah, it'll be a big game, and I wouldn't be surprised to see 2,000 plus at the Flamingoland Stadium on Monday. It'll be a really good meeting, and yeah, Scarborough are maybe surprised that maybe their own fans a little bit by what a good start they've made, but they're still a little bit of a work in progress, I think. But yeah, it should be a really, really good encounter.
Yeah, it was end-to-end stuff for me as well, travelling up to South Shields on Tuesday, Andrew, because the highways agency doesn't like me. The M1 was closed on the way back. Then I did a women's match on Wednesday night, coming back home. The M60 was closed. Doesn't like me. Oh, but it's good to be back travelling to football matches, isn't it? Isn't it great?
Our old chairman at Whitby Town, and obviously you'll be on some section of the M62 at some point.
Yes.
Did used to call it the world's biggest car park, and whenever we used to go from east to west in midweek, which is still the case, there was a lot of sighing in the Whitby boardroom. It was always seemed to take forever to get across the Pennines, and yeah, up to South Shields, goodness me, on a Tuesday night. Fair play to you, man.
Thank you. by the way, I'm coming up to Whitby in a couple of weeks' time on a Tuesday night. Looking forward to that immensely. But yeah, great views on the M62 too. Not at night though, unfortunately. Right, let's so South Shields. Yeah, no, not so much. So South Shields taking on Grantham on Saturday, and then Scarborough on Monday. Whitby Town then. This is earlier. We don't normally talk about Whitby till towards the end, do we? But wow, great start. Gainsborough Trinity away for Whitby Town on Saturday. They follow that up on Monday with a home game against Morpeth Town, not a derby, hashtag. So what do you think? What do you think, Andrew? This has been an epic start to the season for Whitby.
Yeah, it has surprised a few people. I did think that Whitby would do okay this time around, and that's about as much as you'll get out of most Whitby Town fans. But I don't think many would think that we'd be joint top on points with South Shields and Buxton, who you've mentioned, who've obviously got much bigger budgets than Whitby Town. Little Whitby punching above the weight. We haven't got a huge squad, Ben, but when we are fully fit, I would say that Whitby could compete with any of the teams in the league, which they've shown so far. Three wins out of four. Good start. Awful record at Kingsborough, so that will be a very tough one on Saturday. And Morpeth on Monday. Surprised to see them at the bottom of the league, Ben. I don't think many people would have predicted that.
We're waiting for them to start home games, weren't we? Because that was the suspicion. You know, the home form is superb at Morpeth. But
yes.
Then Bamburgh Bridge beat them midweek, didn't they, at home? I mean, it could be like a baseless situation where we've got players coming back from injury and that, but it's not been the best of starts, has it?
No, it hasn't. And I mean, we talked about Gainsborough Trinity, who've got a tough game on Saturday. I mean, they've made a horrendous start, 10 goals conceded in two games. And then you see Morpeth even worse, not even a point on the board so far. Surprises really to see those sides down there, particularly Morpeth, who were, you know, right in that playoff picture before the season was curtailed last time around. So there'll be some concern, no doubt, up in Northumberland with that start.
Morpeth, incidentally, do have a home game on Saturday. They'll be taking on Atherton Coles, and Atherton Coles have had a decent start to the season, haven't they? Atherton Coles will be hosting Lancaster City on Monday. We might as well talk about Lancaster City now then. They're hosting Micklover on Saturday. Lancaster are flying. Sam Fishburne is flying. Mark Fell is flying. Everyone is flying at the Giant Axe at the moment. It's been a great start, hasn't it?
It has, and they've got Whitby Town to thank after kicking them into life with that 1-0 win we had on the opening day of the season. They've never looked back, Ben, they've been brilliant. Yeah, 12 goals scored in that following three games as well. So as you say, those strikers are hitting the net with regularity, and the defence are doing pretty decently as well. Only 5 goals conceded in those 4 matches. So yeah, very good from Lancaster, picking up from where they left off the last couple of seasons. I think you could compare Whitby and Lancaster in some ways, not just the colour of their kits, but also the fact that they punch above their weight, and they do a terrific job, and they'll be up and in and around, you would think, this time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Bamburgh Bridge. We had Jamie Milligan on the show earlier. If they get 6 points or even 4 points out of this weekend, we're going to have to reevaluate Bamburgh Bridge, aren't we? They've got Nantwich Town away on Saturday. On Monday, they're hosting Warrington Town.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
they're tough games. That's what you call an acid test, isn't it, Ben?
Very much so. I'm intrigued because I'm thinking at the back of my mind, I wouldn't put it past Bamburgh Bridge to get 4 points or maybe even 6. But that would be a hell of a statement if they manage it.
Well, it is, but look at these results. You know, 5 past Gainsborough last weekend, and another terrific win in midweek as well. They're surprising a few people. And, you know, you see the talisman leaving the summer, Alistair Wadakow, which you expect is only going to ever be a matter of time before he leaves and moves upwards, such is his quality. But they must have reinvested very, very wisely because, as we said, they've hit the ground running and they're right up there on Lancaster's heels, you know, that Northwest duo there. So fair play to them. Terrific start to the campaign.
Game of the weekend on Saturday, anyway, I think I'm safe in saying this, is Warrington Town taking on Matlock Town. That's 6 taking on 7th. Matlock have been good. Yeah, that's a crucial game, that one, I feel, very early on in the season. Warrington, as we said there on Monday, Warrington will be travelling to Bamburgh Bridge on Monday. For Matlock, they'll be taking on Gainsborough Trinity. What do you make of Matlock's week? Because they've moved into gear now, haven't they, as well?
Yeah, they have, absolutely. Quite miserly, you know, just the odd goal victories. They're grinding out the results, Paul Phillips' men. But 3 wins out of 4, same as Warrington. And looking pretty good early doors. Warrington, they had that 2-0 defeat at Scarborough. Those are the only 2 goals they've conceded in these opening four games. So they still made a good start, and you know they won't be the only team to go to Scarborough and lose. So yeah, it's interesting to see what will happen, what will transpire there. Because Warrington, a few people have said, oh, they've lost the odd player, they don't look quite as good as last year. Well, they don't look too bad so far, do they?
No, not really. Stafford Rangers on Monday, as we said earlier, they'll be hosting Buxton. But Stafford Rangers on Saturday, they'll be travelling to Ashton United. Ashton United have had an okay start to the season. But Stafford, if results go a certain way this weekend, could be in the playoff positions. And given the start to the season and the way, you know, that 1-0 draw with Basford, you wouldn't put it past them, would you?
No, absolutely not. They seem reinvigorated down there, and fair play. Yeah, just to touch on Ashton as well. I mean, very good side. I haven't seen them in action in midweek. Very, very good side. Moved the ball around well, but probably one of those teams like Morpeth and Gainsborough that people are surprised to see in the bottom half of the table, albeit at a very early stage of the season. You'd expect them to be in the top half. And one of those sides, Ben, that were mentioned in hushed tones as being a dark horse for this and that, and they brought in some good players. Certainly the standard of football is good, but we will see whether that translates to results on the pitch.
Let's talk about Nantwich Town. Nantwich on Monday will be travelling to Witton Albion in what some people would call a derby, Andrew Snaith. That is an official derby. That obviously is a follow-up to Saturday's match where Nantwich Town will be hosting Bamber Bridge. As Andrew said earlier, a bit of an acid test, but not just for Bamber Bridge, for Nantwich as well, I feel, given how Bamber Bridge are performing. Then we've got Atherton Coles. We mentioned their match with Lancaster City on Monday. That's a kind of Lancashire derby at a stretch. And Atherton Coles, we mentioned earlier, on Saturday, travelling to Morpeth. Then we've got FC United. Two tough local games this weekend for FC. Hyde United away on Saturday, and then they're hosting Radcliffe on Monday. Both games, Andrew, are a derby. FC United, I mean, 13th at the moment. Been a tough start to the season. The general mood, though, is there's a bit of a spring in the step at the club after those two performances against Buxton and South Shields, throwing the Morpeth result as well last week. It's been a decent start for FC.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you've played the top two sides in the league, and you come away with two very creditable performances. Only one defeat from those opening four very tough games. I think there is reason to be optimistic. And yeah, technically, they're in the bottom half of the table, but they've got a positive goal difference. So I think that maybe tells you maybe what their true position is more likely to be. Yeah, reason for optimism at FC, and rightfully so. Just to touch on Nantwich, you mentioned just now, Ben, a very strange thing happened, almost even stranger than having Whitby in third place. The fact that Nantwich actually went to Whitby and lost, which is something that just barely ever happens. And also Sean Cook didn't score, which again, very, very rarely happens. 2-0 win for Whitby on that occasion. I apologise for switching it around to talking about Whitby winning.
I know, it's all me, isn't it?
It is, that's me. I just had to say it because it just never, ever happens. It's just like a once-a-decade occurrence. Whitby haven't got a bad record at Nantwich, but Nantwich always win at Whitby. So, yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. They will be concerned, you know, Hughes' suspension will kick in, and that may well affect those preparations for those two bank holiday games.
You mentioned FC there at some point earlier on, after you talked about Whitby for a bit. But they're in the lower half of the table, FC United. I'd never realised that. They are, aren't they? So got to get a resolution sent in to sack the board at this point.
Is that how it works? What's the system? How's it
that's on ownership. Yeah. Let's just talk briefly about Hyde United as well, because obviously Dave McGurk left the club early in the week. They had a good result on Tuesday. We know there's going to be, we had Luke Edwards on earlier from 26-0. We know there's going to be a recruitment process happening. We might know more over the weekend, but there's a good squad there, isn't there? So you'd expect Hyde United to be moving up the table at some point. Hyde United currently sitting in 16th. On Monday, they're travelling to Mickleover. So that's an interesting test there for Hyde.
It is, yeah. Mickleover 100% at home, 2 wins out of 2. Tricky one for a new management team, or certainly a caretaker management team, possibly. I don't know if there's any talk of Darren Kelly coming back. He went to pursue a non-management role at Newport County. They didn't have a very good result in midweek, but I don't know whether he'd be welcomed back with open arms, I dare say, over in the northwest there. But yeah, it should be a good test for Hyde at Mickleover.
Ashton United taking on Stafford Rangers on Saturday, and then on Monday they're travelling to Stalybridge in a Tameside derby. So Ashton United, this is the weekend, isn't it, where they could move up the table. Tough game against Stalybridge in particular on Monday, but that Stafford Rangers game on Saturday doesn't look appealing either. So easier said than done.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Stafford Rangers, we touched on the great start that they've made to the campaign. Another team that don't concede many either. They're a hard team to break down, although Ashton may well have the quality to do that with their forward players. But Stalybridge, you know, even though they've made a pretty modest start to the season, you kind of throw the form book out the way with these derbies. You know, it is an eagerly anticipated one. I think there's only a few miles between them, Ashton and Stalybridge. Even I know that one, but it should be a really, really tasty one on Monday, and we'll see what both sides are made of.
And I think we've covered all the fixtures barring one, and that's Basford United taking on Witton Albion on Saturday. Basford, incidentally, will be travelling to Grantham Town on Bank Holiday Monday. They're starting to get players back now. We saw that result midweek. Kane Richards is back now playing for Basford, isn't he, after not featuring in the opening week of the season. So are we expecting Basford to move up the table after this weekend?
You would think so, Ben. I know a lot of the talk in the summer was all based for that, as strong as they were last season. You know, we didn't expect to see them in 19th. Mind you, neither did we expect to see Witton in 20th. So both teams looking for the first win of the season. And then, as you said, Grantham as well, providing the opposition for Basford. Carlton Palmer's had it tough those early few weeks. I mean, particularly that game where you conceded 7 at home to Lancaster City. I mean, that's one to really get the home fans on your back. It'll be very interesting just to see if they can bounce back. But 14 goals conceded in 4 games, that's worrying.
Well, it is early days, keep using that hashtag, everyone at home. We don't look at a league table till after 10 matches, as we know. But we have to, because we have to base our fixture preview chats on something. Andrew Snaith, big, big thank you for Coastal County Radio for joining us. Should say C&C Sports on Twitter. And speaking of Coastal County Radio Sports provision, let's talk about Saturday afternoon and what's coming up this weekend when it comes to a Whitby Town perspective.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. Really good bank holiday weekend in prospect, of course. Whitby on low travels, always a tough one for them. Down in Lincolnshire, Gainsborough Trinity, providing the opposition, will be live from 3 o'clock with Liam Ryder and Paul Connolly. Connolly's come all the way from Gibraltar, you know. And then Monday, as he's been telling everybody, Whitby Town taking on Morpeth Town. Sorry, I love you really, Paul. Morpeth providing the opposition at the Torbay Express Stadium on Monday. 3 o'clock start for that one. And again, Liam and Paul on hand for Coastal County Radio. You've got the Saturday Sports Show with me from 2. Paul will be giving us regular updates and also live and uninterrupted commentary on coastalcountyradio.co.uk. Just click Whitby Sports Extra.
I wonder if Paul Connolly's travel time was the same as mine getting back from South Shields on Tuesday. Interesting to work
probably
out.
Comparable.
And Paul, I'm talking door-to-door here as well. None of this flying from the airport. I bet you it was longer back from South Shields to Manchester. Anyway, Andrew Snaith from Coastal County, a big, big thank you for joining us. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch up very soon.
Oh, lovely, Ben. Always a pleasure.
And a big thank you to Andrew Snaith for joining us on this week's show. That's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and have a lovely bank holiday weekend, and we'll catch up again next week. Bye-bye.